This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of Philippians, the first chapter. We'll read verses 3 through 11. Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. I thank my God every time I mention you in my prayers. I'm thankful for all of you every time I pray, and it's always a prayer full of joy. I'm glad because of the way you have been my partners in the ministry of the gospel from the time you first believed it until now. I'm sure about this. The one who started a good work in you will stay with you to complete the job by the day of Christ Jesus. I have good reason to think this way about all of you because I keep you in my heart. You are all my partners in God's grace, both during my time in prison and in my defense and support of the gospel. God is my witness that I feel affection for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. This is my prayer, that your love might become even more and more rich with knowledge and all kinds of insight. I pray this so that you will be able to decide what really matters, and so you will be sincere and blameless on the day of Christ. I pray that you will then be filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes from Jesus Christ, in order to give glory and praise to God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What do you remember about Sunday school as a child, if you were fortunate enough to have the opportunity to participate in Sunday school? Was it the stories you heard? I remember my favorite Sunday school lesson was the one about four friends who carried a lame man to be healed by Jesus. One arriving, they couldn't even get in the house where Jesus was. But their love found a way. They climbed onto the flat roof of the house and proceeded to put in a skylight through which they lowered their friend into the loving and healing presence of Jesus. How cool is that? Or do you remember the relationships you found at Sunday school? That story is even better when your Sunday school teacher actually has a model of a house and takes it off of the roof while you and your friends lower an action figure down into the house to be healed. The whole class was pretty much expecting that action figure to start walking around the room by itself. I'm not sure which part of that story taught us the most about love. Was it the powerful love of Jesus unleashed when he healed a lame man? Was it the love of the friends who overcame all barriers in order to carry the one they cared about into the presence of Jesus' love when he couldn't get there on his own? Or was it the love of that Sunday school teacher who brought that story and the love to life for a bunch of rowdy kids? Whatever it was, one thing was clear. We all loved Sunday school. It was a place where we heard amazing stories. Shucks, it was a place where we did more than hear them. It was where we could experience them. We could put ourselves into the stories and imagine what it was like to really be part of them. Sunday school was a place where we could experience the love of God that we felt through those who were telling us the stories. I guess you might even say that Sunday school was a place, well, where love grew. See, love is supposed to grow. Love, in fact, will grow if nurtured and carefully tended. Small beginnings are no indication of the confines or potential of love. Love will find a way to overcome all surroundings and circumstances, however harsh. Love will come to full blossom and bloom with a radiance that bears forth love's true fragrance. Whenever we place ourselves in love's reach, entering into a place where love can grow, it will begin to grow in us. We have seen some of what the Apostle Paul had to say about love. In his Love 101 course, Paul told us, Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude, etc. We saw the longer version of his understanding of love with that list of more than 30 imperatives for being a loving community. In today's scripture reading, Paul seems to trust love to simply do the right thing if it's allowed to continue to grow in its own unique and powerful way. Maybe Paul had come to realize even his own imagination would sell love short, that when it came to love, he would never cease to be amazed. The epistle of Philippians discloses a relationship between Paul and those to whom he was writing. It was a close and, well, loving relationship. Paul begins by telling them how thankful he is for them, thanking God every time he mentioned them in his prayers, prayers that were always filled with joy. He goes on to describe the specifics of their support for him and his ministry in good times and in hard times. Theirs was a love that withstood some truly harsh conditions, persecution, prison. It was a love that provided support for which Paul considered them partners in God's grace. Still, Paul had a prayer for the Philippians, and that prayer was that their love might grow, that it might become even more and more rich with knowledge and all kinds of insight. Paul wasn't asking them for their support. He already knew he had it. He wasn't begging them for their love. He knew that they loved him already. What he was praying for was that the love they had might grow, or, as some versions say, that their love may abound. Paul uses a word in this prayer that means to grow in a way that goes above and beyond, ever increasing and rich. For Paul, a growing love would be characterized with knowledge and all kinds of insight. Mike Vestal explains that knowledge here denotes a full understanding that comes by personal relationship and experience. Love for Paul is not merely an emotion. It is accompanied with insight that impacts behavior. The reason Paul prays for the Philippians to grow in love is so that you may approve what is excellent, which means to be able to lovingly distinguish not only between good and evil, but between what is best from what is good. Those who display the love for which Paul prays are characterized by lives of righteousness. They don't just bear fruit, they are full of the fruit of righteousness. What a wonderful prayer. What an appropriate prayer to carry us into worship on any morning, but particularly this morning as we resume our Sunday school program with the theme of Love Grows Here. Already, we are a congregation who know the joy of caring relationships. Already, we are partners together in the work to which Christ has called us in this shared time and place. Already, we are supportive of one another in good times and in times of challenge, whose heart is not warmed by the outpouring of loving responses to the prayer requests posted on windows into St. Luke's. Together, we celebrate with one another. Whether it's the 145th anniversary of the congregation, a milestone anniversary of a faithful staff person, or the first day of school for our children, love abounds here. Together, we are burdened for one another as crisis threatens to upend our world and us in it. Together, we love with a caring and connected love that keeps hope alive and community strong. But lifted up before us as we worship today is this prayer, that our love might become even more and more rich with knowledge and all kinds of insight, instilling in each of our hearts a prayer that our love might grow here. You see, faith, our faith, is about stories and relationships. Ours is a faith that is communicated in the unchanging narrative in which God passionately arrives to encounter people, speaking to them, delighting in them, made sorrowful with them. All of the purpose of leading them deeper and deeper into the story about God's love for them. The goal that is before us as we resume the Sunday school year is not for you to simply listen to more stories or even to believe them. The goal is to experience them in a way that makes it clear to you that you are included in the story, to feel the love of God in a way that you know that it includes and welcomes you, to know regardless of what else your story might be, there's always another part to your story, and that part is that you are loved. This is a story that has the power to beckon you toward a greater narrative for your life. A story that has the power to transform you into more than you ever imagined you could become. Any time we can imagine ourselves in the bigger narrative of God's story, love will grow in us until it cannot be contained any longer. It will increase and become a natural outgrowth of our lives, an expression of the love of God who is at work in us, moving ever outward, extending the reach of the story of God's love. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter how harsh the environment is. Love will find a way to grow. It doesn't matter how small the beginning, from the most simple acts of kindness and concern for another person, love will come to full blossom. Love will continue to grow in each of us when we put ourselves in places where love grows. We cannot begin to imagine the fullness of the fruits of love that shall be born here. Whether it is from hearing a familiar Bible story in an engaging way, or being stricken by the beauty of a stained glass window, or the kind heart of a caring Sunday school teacher. Once it is sown in open hearts, love can and will grow. Maybe the one in whom love grows here will go on to become one who carries others to Jesus in their need. Maybe they will be the one in whose love children continue together. Maybe they will grow up to become the next loving Sunday school teacher. Today, I join with the Apostle Paul praying that our love might grow here. Amen.